still have to not still have to work,
Yeah.
but have to work with all these different changes and adaptability. You gotta have different gay rights. You gotta have different everything that comes under that, transgender, the different labeling of people, I, he, my, and all that dumb junk. I feel sorry for them because they have to tolerate that more. We didn't when I left in 2010, it wasn't that apparent that you had to have different rights and all that. And don't care how many different organizations we belong to based on our faith and way of life or belief. When we belong to certain in organizations, we have to deal with those type of people. We can't be functional in an organization and exclude them, otherwise we won't be in that organization. If we can't be in that organization, we may not be able to reach somebody else for Christ. You can't reach somebody else for Christ in that organization, you should join another organization you can reach. That's how I look at it. I don't like being stagnant just in a church, never since I was a kid. And that's just my way I am. I don't like being stagnant just in the church. I like going outside of the church doing things. And that's very important because I look at the saints of old, John the Baptist in the wilderness, he out in the city, he out in the Badlands, wherever. And that's where the stuff is at. When we did the town watch, we went out at night, late at night, 11:30, right there, 32nd and Tasker, anywhere where somebody got a shot. And that's some. If the Lord is with you, you're going to have fruit. If you, the Lord is with you, and what you're doing, you're going to have fruit. I don't care what it is. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, anybody else? Okay, let's look into the verse that we're looking at. Now, watch what he said. Some most emphasized what somebody else did earlier. Now he says, and the Lord said to Peter, listen, he says, Simon, Simon, behold, and we see behold, behold means what, y'all? Holler it out. Come on.
Yeah.
Look, take a good look.
Look,
I mean, I want you to really look at this. Look.
like, yes, look.
Look. All right, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan have desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat.
Mercy.
Now, I think we're all here old enough to remember. You know, the old strain is the one we used to have to do. We had to sift your flour back in the day. It had so many lumps and dry stuff in it, you had to sift it before you could really use it. Can you imagine being sifted? Like we just strain cut. That's where I thought about that when I was a kid, when my man would make us sift flour. And I said, and I remember one day we got fancy one day, got that one, all you had to do was squeeze it a little bit. You know, you
Oh,
just squeeze it
spring,
and
spring,
then we got a
spring.
little fancy, you know. And I said, dang, Satan wanna make Peter come through something like this? That's all the way I can think about it. You know, but this is what the Lord said. He wants to sift you as wheat. But this is what got me, and I think this is, might have been Deacon Moe. He said, but watch this. But I have prayed for thee. Now let me ask y'all something. What the, I can't go no further. I need some help here. What does that say to you to hear that Jesus prayed for you? What does that say to you?
That it's going to be all right. He got me. He got me.
Amen.
I'm in his
I
hands.
hear that. Anybody else? Come on.
Well, he is a great intercessor, and if he prayed for you, he prayed to his father for you. So
Good to hear.
all right
Because who's
now,
he praying to?
his
This is
dad.
Jesus. Okay, I think Deacon Smith had his hand up, but that's what's important to me. Deacon Smith, go ahead. I don't want to go any further.
That was good. That's fine.
Yeah, because now Jesus is praying to him. Okay, he's communicating. Okay, he's talking to somebody. Not to, otherwise, he'd be talking to himself. But I believe we have another little example of how. Y'all might think I'm stretching this, but it's how I see how the Trinity is working here. Because I prayed for you, and what did he pray? That your faith, this, yeah, Deacon Bowles, I think you first said this, that your faith fail not. Now, think about this. Somebody's after you, and they after you to do you harm. Okay, they after you to destroy you. And he's praying that your faith don't fail you. Now,
yes.
Now you might be saying to yourself, well, Lord, why didn't you pray that I could be fleet of foot if they coming after me, that I can make it out of there? Or pray that I can stand up and fight. But he just said, I'm praying that your faith don't fail you.
Mm-hmm.
What did that say to y'all? Come on now. It's something in there. It's
yes, it is.
There. This is Satan desires to save you. Deacon Smith, go ahead.
I think to me, it just shows how powerful our faith is. And I don't think a lot of us understand that as a weapon of what faith really is. And it's not just all believing God. You see, faith is a weapon. Now, faith comes by hearing the word of God. So what does that mean? So I'm taking it as, now, first of all, I was going to say this when he said, I pray for the fact that he's praying for you, lets you know how intense this attack against you is going to be, right? And then second, I was just going to say, as far as like the faith, and then almost go back to that crazy argument that we was having, strong faith, weak faith, but it's just, to me, it was just showing like, no, I'm serious. It shows the significance of how important faith is. He didn't pray, he didn't say shrimp, he didn't say for all this other stuff like you're saying, your faith. And what does faith do? We know faith allowed Peter to walk on water. Faith allowed Abraham is called the friend of God because of faith. You know, Moses, you know, was like the guy because of faith. I mean, I'm just using this for example, and we can keep running down of faith. But what I'm saying is that faith is the significance. I think.
Yes, it is.
I may not be explaining it all.
No, I think we follow.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah, Dingmos.
I agree. And go back to Jesus and say, you got to remember, we just read, he said, I pray for you. All these disciples have seen Jesus raise the dead, heal people, did different miracles at the wedding, and have seen all this. And he gave them power to cast out demons. So now after experiencing all this stuff, and he telling Peter, I prayed for you. That means something to Peter. Because he gave him the answer after he said that of what's going to happen. And, he didn't say, I prayed for you with intensity to the Father. He didn't say none of that. He said, I prayed for you. And then he finished on telling him what's going to happen after. After I prayed, this was going to happen.
Now, you're hitting on some keys here. Some keys. Because he said, now I'm praying for you.
No. Faith, I prayed for you.
I prayed for you that your faith fail not. Now, we got that. Okay? But this is what's powerful right there with it. And when thou art converted, when you have returned, he didn't say if. When you're
All right.
You see what happened there? Did y'all see what happened right there?
You're going to print time.
I pray that your faith don't fail you. And when you come back, when you return, that's what that means. When you come back to yourself.
Yes.
So he's already counted as done. You see what happened? Did you see that?
Okay.
Are we about to do the same thing? Why do we seem, a lot of times we seem so surprised when the Lord answers our prayers? When you prayed for it, didn't you expect to get it?
Yes.
Don't be surprised when you get it. Be thankful. Be grateful.
Because
I expect to get it.
Yeah, but we don't always expect to get it. We just be, because then if we don't get it, we're like, okay, you know, we come up with another excuse. We don't always expect to get our prayers.
You don't think so?
We know. I'm not saying that in crazy, you know, because then I've seen the same people say, I don't see, I mean, you know, conversely, it's, well, you know, if it's God's will, no, we don't approach that boldness that is going to happen all the time. And I'm not saying that in crazy. I know, but I've heard people pray before plenty of times and they don't be all bold with it. It's going to happen in Jesus' name. They'd be like, you know, I hope it happens half the time when they up there praying. It's okay. I'm just saying. Alex.
Oh, I love my nephew.
I was just saying something important here. What do y'all think about this?
Yes, he is.
What do y'all think about this?
That's why I'm saying I'm laughing because he's on point for me. We had that little bit of doubt that we keep possessing and holding on to, all the faith that we may have, but that little bit of doubt should not be there. That mess up the whole how much of faith we have.
Amen.
Yeah, well, I believe some people do have, you know, we discussed that strong faith and weak faith. You know, they'll say it, but it won't be, you know, they'll have some doubt in the back of their mind about it. And I expect God to answer all my prayers.
He I sure do.
I expect a miracle.
Mm.
I understand yes. what Alex said when he said we don't always expect it, but it's like, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. I see you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. You start finish.
It's just that when what you said to me about my eye, and you said you prayed for, you expected to happen. I said, well, certainly, and then. It's like when I prayed and I asked God to fix it. That's all I said. You do it the way you do it, so fix it, please. And when it was fixed, I told people, and you asked me a question. I said, they said they thought it was done. You said they thought it was done or it is done. Mm-hmm, in my head, it is done. Now, and so that's just the way I believe it. It's done. Mm-hmm. And it's been taken care of because I asked God to do it or I asked Jesus to intercede, whatever, but he did it. And so mm-hmm. I felt good about that.
Okay.
Okay, Deacon Smith.
That, but that's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. That's all right. Go ahead.
I was going to say we all understand where Alex is coming from as far as, like, sometimes people have some doubt and stuff like that. But I want to believe that if we're actually talking to God,
mm-hmm.
and we actually have the moxie to go to him, like, do we actually believe he'll do it? James has told us, like, that, you know, a double-minded, hold on, let me read this. It says, if anyone lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously all without any fault, and will give, and will be, and it will be given to you. James chapter 1. Verse mm-hmm. 5 through James chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. But I'm just jumping right here to 6. It says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one mm-hmm. who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not mm-hmm. expect to receive anything.
Mm-hmm.
That person should have anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. So I'm mm-hmm. just saying that to say that I do get it. Where Alex is coming from, and sometimes we like that. I really need the Lord to come through, but I don't think any of us really going to pray and say, I don't know if God will do it, but I'm gonna just take a shot in the dark at this one.
You know? Oh my gosh!
I don't believe so.
Okay.
What?
Yeah, Deacon Mose. Yeah.
Yeah. Two things I want to say. One thing, Brother Al said in his statement. Is how other people pray. One thing I share with your nephew is this. Don't worry about what other people doing or have done. Concentrate what you are doing and you have done. That's number one. Number two, read that Bible more, because in Isaiah 26 and 3, it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because mm-hmm. he trusted in thee. When we put our trust in God, that's what you're doing. I'm gonna say three things. The third thing is, while we the Lord give us the spirit in this body, we can do basically whatever we want to do. Once he calls us home and that spirit go to God, we got to give an account for everything we did in this body. Why? How can I say that? The Lord said he's going to bring everything back to remembrance. Read that Bible if you believe it. Now, if you don't believe it, do your thing. That's the best I can say for real.
Amen.
Okay. I think realistically, Alex brought up a very real scenario, a very real point.
Mm-hmm.
I think realistically, when the Lord now it's in a different situation, but I believe the context is still the same. In John the 14th chapter, and I'm just gonna read at the 10th verse, start reading at the 10th verse. I want y'all to hear this. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father's in me? Mm. The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Now watch this bit. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father's in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Now, you say, well, that's not the same context. But the point, I want you to get the point that Jesus is saying here. There's a lot of things that we've witnessed the Lord do. We witnessed what he says and all that he's saying to them then. But if you don't believe if you don't have the faith to just accept it just as it is, accept it on what you say, what you've seen me do for others, what you've seen me do for your folks or whoever. Believe the very work. Just believe that what was done. Mm-hmm. Now, you may not have the faith to say, well, you may not believe that, oh, Lord, you're going to give me a new job. I've been looking all month for a job, and I just don't see that happening. Lord, I'm asking you for it, and, I hope you'll do something. Well, when the James is telling us what we're doing, you know, I see you again, Deacon Smith. When the Lord is telling us in James, if the Lord will, he's talking about those people who are going to assume, and I'm using that word on purpose. Y'all know I don't like to use it. But for those people who assume that, okay, yeah, next month I'm going to this place. Tomorrow I'm doing this. You just take for granted automatically you got that day due to you.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, no, you give God his place. You know what? If the Lord allows me to, you still have your expectation. Now, watch what he's saying to you. You still have your expectations. Okay? But if the Lord allows me, think about what Jesus said. Yeah, Jesus said, if this cup be removed from me and all that and everything, y'all know the story in Gethsemane. He said, but nevertheless, not what I want, but what you will. Because the Lord knew. Now, watch again. You see how certain Lord had no doubt about what would happen when he talked to his father. And he knew full well. If he said, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Oh, that's what you want, son. And that would have happened. And we would not be having this conversation today. Okay? But he said, no, nevertheless. You know, y'all understand that. Not what I will. But you give God his place. Because a lot of things we ask for, and we talked about this some time ago, we'll revisit it. There are some prayers that are not going to be answered. Prayers that are done in vanity, prayers that are trying to change that which the Lord said wouldn't happen or would. Oh Lord, I'm praying that you'll heal my son. Well, David fasted, prayed, sat in sackcloth and ashes, but God told him your son is going to die. Now he's going to pray till his tongue fell out. But God said, your son is going to die. Pray all you want, but you're not going to change the Lord's will. So there's certain prayers, and I'll go over that again sometime. If y'all remember, it's going back a ways. I did give you a handout when we talked about this, about prayers that, some prayers that are just not going to be answered. Deacon Smith, I'm sorry, let me go ahead on.
Oh, no, that's okay. I was just going to, I was just saying, I kind of lost my thought. It's all good.
When it come back to you, just jump in. You know, I'm sorry. Just jump in. Yeah. So what we have happening is a lot of stuff going on right here. Okay. When you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Okay. Now, when this happens, when you come back to yourself, because you're going to come back, the Lord knew this, you strengthen your brother. You'll be able to tell them, listen, I was wrong, or when I was in a, my mind wasn't right, or fear, I let fear overtake me, or whatever it is he was sharing with them, so that they can be, so that they can be strengthened. Because one thing we got to understand, they were there, they were all there. But I want you to understand, y'all, that, yeah, I shouldn't have did what I did, yada, yada, yada. And that's what he means, strengthen them. Because y'all going to get these same kind of temptations. Y'all going to get people that's going to try to do you physical harm or what have you. You got to make a decision. Well, stand up for Jesus or save myself or whatever. He's going to tell them, listen, right now I feel terrible. Jesus told me this would happen. Okay? You okay? But the Lord knows. He knows exactly Peter's heart. When Peter, and going back to, I think Alex put this out, when Peter said to him, when you convert the strength of your brethren, and then he said to Peter, I mean, Peter said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you, both to prison and to death.
Yeah.
The Lord knew that Peter meant that. And I feel like Alex, he meant that. I believe he did in his heart. He meant that. And just like a lot of us, when we say, I mean Jesus all the way, and you really do, okay? But things can happen in life, and it can make you change. You know, it can make you change, and the Lord knows that. I see you, Deacon Moses. I'll get to you in a minute. And the Lord knows that. I mean, if you people get ready to torture you, in your mind you said, okay, I'm ready, Lord, and I know you won't put more in me than I can bear. But if somebody get ready to take a hot iron and they're taking their time and getting it closer and closer to your eye, you start to feel the warmth of it getting closer, you might change your mind. You might change, because we're flesh and blood. We might change our mind. You know? So I don't know, but we start going, Deacon Moses, yeah.
Check out the chat, excuse me. Lala not talking, but she's chatting.
Yeah, that last statement, I think that my dad, I think Reverend Cotton just touched on it a little bit. I mean, when it comes down to it, I don't know. I mean, hopefully we can all stand, but when it comes down to, like, when it's really on the line, which hopefully none of us have ever been in a situation, really, what will you do? I mean, Peter, we know, I love this passage. I love Peter also. He wasn't no weak man. You know, he was one of the, you know what I mean? And he, when it came down to it, he tried to save his bacon. So I'm just saying.
Go ahead, Digamos, jump in.
Yeah. I thank Brother Al for that. Yeah, Peter, but what the Lord told him already, he said, Peter, once you are converted, and he got his conversion when he realized that what have I done, and he went back on the battlefield for Christ, even though he was hiding for a while. I don't know how long it was, the Bible don't say, but he was hiding out for a minute because he was fearing for his life, like we said. However, after a while, I don't know how long it was, he came back to his senses and said, what am I doing? I believe in the risen Savior. I believe in him. Let me go tell these other people about it. And that's when his conversion happened, whenever that happened. And then he strengthened the brothers. That's an example for us always, to strengthen each other. Iron sharpened iron. Wait a minute. So sharpeneth the man the countenance of his friend. Finish these verses. We go on the first verse. Finish the whole thing, because you get the full meaning. You get the full meaning. That means you got to read more of that word. Stop playing Amen. Church. Stop playing church and start praying church.
Okay.
Amen.
All right. Yeah. I was reading what Lala put in here, and just to say, if y'all didn't read it, she said one. She expect to get, you know, she expect to get my, well, I'm going to quote, I expect to get my blessing. I just don't know when and how he will deliver the prayer. You have to pray with expectation. Think about it again. You've said this in the past. Those of us who was raised by anybody, whether your parents, your uncle, the aunt, or whoever, when you were a kid and you needed something, you expected to get it.
Mm-hmm.
I need new shoes. I need another pair of pants. I need some underwear. I don't care what it is. If you asked them for it, you expected to get it. Mm-hmm. Now, you were excited when you got, oh, I got some new shoes. I'm going to get some new sneakers. You were excited about that. Okay, of course you said thank you. But you, and that's the way we should be with the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for my prayer. Thank you for answering my prayer. But expect to get it. Now I got holes in my shoes. I don't expect to keep walking on these shoes till my whole foot is on the ground.
Mm-mm.
I'm hoping that it'll answer me before that. Now, some of us are going through the stage where I got a hole in there now. I put some cardboard in there for a while. That I can't go much longer, you know, but I'm weighing it down. You know? Mm. Now, what we did not know, of course, is maybe our parents didn't have any money at the time. We had to wait till payday. They had to wait till... We didn't know that. But when the time come and we were able to get that what we asked for, we felt glad about it. You didn't give up on it. You might have not have gotten it when you wanted to get it, but you were glad when you did have when it did happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, we should expect when we ask our Heavenly Father for something, we should expect to get it. Deacon Smith, I see your hand.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, that's what I remember I was saying. I was saying to go along with the prayers, like, I think we got to know that it's not just a one-time thing. Like, we just pray, like, oh, one time, God, no, I need a heart transplant. You know, it was like, even with the widow, we got to be persistent. I think that's part of what you were just saying, Pesca, be persistent. But then also just, I mean, I think prayer and I think some of the things, like, I think we forget, it's a conversation.
Yeah.
God can be giving us direction. God is giving us direction during prayer. I think a lot of times we think prayer is just request, 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 request. And we don't give our adulation, you know, like properly, like we supposed to. We jump in, God, I just need you to do this. Now, it's some time for prayer for that, but like I think we don't really fully embody like the prayer, like when we get into that mode, like you know, sometimes like really waiting to hear what God got to say, because a lot of times we think the answer is no. He could be telling us something different. He did, you know, and I think we got to really get into the total aspect of prayer, you know. Because at the end of the day, yeah, I was really say it was real. But, like, I think that's real a lot of times. And myself, I know I'm definitely included in this. I don't spend enough time in the prayer, like, listening portion. I should be hearing what God got to say, you know. And I think, you know, we just want to get off. We just want to say what we need to say, expecting God to that to be it. And we call that our prayer, you know.
I see your head.
Yeah, I like what Deacon Ron say, but I like the story. I wish he had told it. I don't know which widow he talked about, but I imagine it's the widow that wanted to see the ruler that didn't regard God for her issue. The Bible don't say what her issue was, but she went through the procedures to see this ruler, and he pushed her off, but she kept doing it. She kept doing it. That ruler said, mercy. Let me see what she wants, lest she worry me to death. And I guarantee she got what she wanted because she went through the procedure, was persistent. Be persistent, the sincere, the fervent, effectual, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effects, the result of a fervent, sincere prayer availeth much with God, it got weight. But let me say this scripture here and I'm done. Matthew 7:7. Easy. Matthew 7:7.
Yeah.
Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find it. Knock and it shall be open unto you. Everything in this Bible answers every questionable question we can question.
Amen.
Okay. And the other point that just to put out, bring out this other point that Lala stated. She also says, how can you say he is the Almighty and then doubt his ability? You have to pick a lane and stay in it. Isn't that what the Lord said? Listen, either be hot or cold. Mm-hmm. But you lukewarm, you can be sick to my stomach. If you're going to be with me, be with me. If you're going to be against me, be against me. Whatever you want to do, but make a decision. Stop trying to straddle the fence. But she also states that a lot of blessings don't happen when we want to, because we are not truly ready to receive it yet. Oh,
yeah.
Is that possible too? I think Deacon Smith hit on that.
Yes, yes.
I think so. You know, a lot of times we wonder why we're not growing in this area. How come we didn't get that job? How come we didn't this? No, you're not ready yet. I could have let you get that job. It would have increased your pay. But you're at a point now where that extra money would have went completely to your head. I know that. You would have started buying more because you get it. You're not ready yet. Calm down. You know, one of the best testimonies I heard about jobs, I heard from Kristen in church one day. She was looking for trying to advance in her job, but instead it looked like she was moved to a different position, and it was not it's not what she wanted. But then she said, I'm paraphrasing the whole story, but then she realized by moving to that other, it's like a lateral move. It's like moving to that other position allowed her to be able to get elevated to a different position that she was looking at similar, which paid her more money, but she couldn't have got that position till she laterally moved to a different one. See, sometimes we don't realize the Lord moves us around to another position so that he can elevate us from that spot. We don't know. The key thing is, again, I love this old song. We don't sing it anymore, but I still think it's relevant. I do not know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow.
Who holds tomorrow?
That's where our trust has to be in the Lord. Mm-hmm. Lord, I can't see as far as the Lord can. So that's why I just trust him. Lord, it's in your hand. I trust you. You see, you know the beginning as well as the end. I got to trust you. So, yes, that's very relevant. La, we thank you for that. Sometimes we aren't really ready, and the Lord knows we're not ready. You know? And he's looking out for our behalf. You know, I can bless you in this area. Yeah, I can give you what you asked for, but I'll be setting you up. I'll be setting you up right now for that. So we thank God for that. So listen, to say this here, yes, lying is very important, but we need to understand a couple of things. The consequences of lying is very important, to the point that we know in the scripture where the Lord says, okay, liars don't make it in. Okay, two, we realize that there's a difference between being a liar and telling a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Understand that. Peter said three lies right there. Three times. But Peter was not a liar. He was not a liar. Mm-hmm. And the Lord, in his infinite wisdom, I see you, Deacon Smith, in his infinite wisdom, knew that. Deacon Smith, go ahead, before you forget.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to ask, even though they asked him three times a little lie, would this be like, I know it's like one instance where he's lying, even though it's like multiple lies, but it's like one instance about the same instance.
Yeah.
It's not
okay.
Like, hey, where were you? You know, you get it. Would it be looked at like that? Well, I mean, it's still, he asked him three times and said, no, but it's like the same instance.
It's the same instance, I believe that lends to the fact that no, he's not a liar. It's the same instance, and I think yes. But I mean, it doesn't take away the fact that if I ask you something, you tell me three times, it's like you lied to me three times. It's the same thing, but that does not. I guess we could split a hair there if we want to. I guess we could, but the point is, I think the point we need to bring out is that Peter was not a liar. And every time we tell a lie, it doesn't make us liars. That's not what we do. Going along with what Peachy stated, no, that's not our character. That's not one of our, you know, character flaws or whatever, that we're a liar. Mm-hmm. That would make that would bring about some very, very serious question. Deacon Moses, I saw your hand go up. You're muted.
Yeah, I'm sorry. On that line. Not only is lying wrong to do based on the commandments of God, the mandates of God, but a lie can hurt you even when you think it can help you. How can I say that? I could have lied on my behalf when I got locked up any of them times and said, yes, I did it. Give me the lower sentence. I could have lied and did it and got the lower sentence, but I had something on my record. It would have helped me to a person that didn't believe in God, to a person that wanted to just get out of jail. It would have helped them, but it would have hurt them. A lie can work so much more against you, you can't even imagine. So don't get caught up in lies, whether you think it's going to help you or not. I'm a living witness. It ain't helped me, and I wouldn't do it. All right, thank you.
Okay. Yeah, so I hope just looking at, and I'm thankful, very thankful, and grateful for all of the contributions and the discussion that everybody put in. That's what we hear about. That's what it's about, to hear, you know, everybody's different points of view on the same subject. We see, yes, I think that what we take away from what we looked at is a difference between a person telling a lie and being a liar. We see that the Lord does not care for liars. I only use a small passage, but some of y'all have verses in your head or verses that you know right off the top that will confirm that, no, the Lord he doesn't like lying. You know, and I purposely went back to the Old Testament. We talk about lying lips, liars. He just doesn't, you know, he loathes them. He just doesn't like that. And well, that's partly what we wanted to bring out here. Deacon Smith, I didn't try to sidestep what you said. I don't know if I made that clear. And Deacon Smith brought out a very important point. Even though it was all about the same thing, was that really three lies that Peter said? Or was it repetitive, the same lie, just repetitive? How do you want to look at that? Wait a minute, Deacon Smith, go ahead.
I'm sorry, y'all. No, I was saying, like, I do believe it was three lies, but what I'm saying is, like, would that be considered, like, I mean, would it, or would we be looking at it as, like, yo, this boy just keep lying, man, you know what I'm saying? Or would it be, like, you know what I'm saying? I still would look at it as one instance, but, like, multiple lies about the same thing.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. What do y'all think? Dig emoji, you got your hand on, what you think?
Well, I'm going to go about what the Bible says. The Bible was a prophetic saying. Jesus told him, you're going to deny me three times. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody else want to comment on that?
So he was considered a liar at the time.
You say you think he was considered a liar?
At the time, yeah.
Bigger moves. I see your hand jumped up.
Now, wait a minute. Don't jump to the conclusion, y'all. If we're going to say he was a liar, why would Jesus say, when you are converted, help your brother? Jesus is not going to be telling no liar to go strengthen the brethren. I'm sorry.
So I think, I'm sorry. Somebody else.
Go ahead.
I think that, I was actually going to pose the question earlier, right after, but like I think PJ just answered the question. I was like, well, really, how can we determine who a liar is? Because I think it deals more with kind of going on the inside. I could tell 20 lies and not be a liar. But God knows your heart.
You a liar.
Well, if I tell them over 20, if I tell one lie per over 20 years, am I a liar?
Yeah.
I disagree.
Well, this is not it.
But you're a liar.
But wait a minute. Your example, Alex, but you raise a good point. You ask, how can we determine? I don't think that is us. We do determine that. Remember, it's God who looks on the heart.
That's my point. I think really only God can truly know if you're a liar or not. That's what I was thinking.
No, but what we can know, if we're around a person, and we lying, every man. Time they coming out of their jabber, they coming out with a lie.
I'm gonna call you a liar.
To me,
you really don't know if they're truly a liar.
Yeah, I see you, Digga.
I agree with you. I agree.
I see you, Digga Mode.
I wanna know, Al, how many times have you lied to me?
Oh wow. Oh my gosh, no.
No,
it depends on the situation. On the question.
Oh my gosh!
I see you, Nigga Smith. I see you, Nigga Smith. Nigga Smith. I see you.
Now I was thinking this when I was in the car though, and I'm glad I brought it back up because I forgot. Like, think about this. I remember you was talking about alcoholic, right? You say you know people that may drink only once a year, you know, but they get tore up that one or twice a year they get tore up.
Yeah, that was the alcoholic. The alcoholic teacher, that's what he said a person can be. I'm just quite quoted him. He said a person can be an alcoholic and only drink once a year.
Alcoholic.
Before, what I'm saying is if we go with that, but that's what I'm saying, that can go for fornication. That can go for the same things that the Lord is saying, we're not going to get into heaven about those same things. And you may not practice fornication. Hey, me and my girlfriend, you know, we try to do the right way. You know, we only do something once a month or something like that. Yo, you fornicating, man. And right now, you are a fornicator. Until you get it right. And I'm not judging him. We're just talking about the So, again, by your fruits, you should know them. So, I mean.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Good point, Deacon Moose.
Well, I like what Deacon Ron said, but if you have a spiritual background, one thing when I talk about with any of my people I associate with and they say they girlfriend, I say to them, first off, well, boyfriend. I talk to a lot of women also. Is that your fiance? Do you plan on marrying him or her? Well, what do you mean? That's my girl. Bible don't say nothing about no girlfriend or no boyfriend. All it say is engage. Betrothed mean you engage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It don't say nothing about no boyfriend or girlfriend. Now, if I'm Deacon Mose, Chaplain Mose, Brother Mose, you talking to me about a relationship, first thing I'm going to ask you is, do you believe in God? Second thing, are you engaged? And that's going to be two conversations right there. One thing we got to know, and I'm going to say this and I'm going to be done. I don't want to take over the Bible study, Pastor. The end of that book of Revelation is at the end of the Bible, chapter 22. And we talked about that, me and the pastor. The end of that last chapter 22 of the Revelation, if you don't read the whole Bible, this is the last thing it said. It say, those that's going to be righteous, let them stay righteous. Those that's going to be unrighteous, let them stay unrighteous. Those that's going to be just, let them stay just. Those that's going to be unjust, let them stay unjust. That's after you done read through all the blessings of God, all the favor he gave different people. You live in the lifestyle God wants you to live. You can't play the game, my girlfriend, my boyfriend. Nobody got time to hear that. Is you engaged or ain't you?
Okay. Good stuff, y'all. Good stuff.
Yes.
Any last words, anybody? If not, anybody want to close us out in prayer? Because we can go on with this. This is a good discussion, but I'm not trying to hold anybody hostage. So is there anyone that want to close us out in prayer?
I'll close us out if it's okay.
Yeah.
All right. Most Holy Eternal Father, we thank you for this illumination. We thank you for the different views. We pray that there is enlightenment, there's understanding, there's knowledge, understanding, and wisdom that comes forth out of it. Let us be able to apply it to our lives. For when we live a life according to your word, we live a life that's pleasing to you. And that is all we're here to do. Be a pleasure to you in what we say, do, think, dream, or even imagine. And we thank you, Father, for your teaching. We thank you for everyone here willing to take time out to get involved. Thank you, Father, for your power. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Yes, this world has got ups and downs, but through it all, you said if we keep our hand in your hand, you will bring us through. We said if you draw near to me, I'm going to draw near to you. And if I draw near to you, I'm going to give you more power. Lord, I'm not here to preach, but thank you for everything. Thank you for understanding. Thank you for the peace you've given us. Thank you for the safety you've given us. Thank you for all of us having shelter from the elements, and everything, Lord. Food on our plate, a few dollars in our pocket. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Thank you
for all your
Amen.
Help.
All right.
And thank Amen. You.
Yes, Amen. Thank everybody Amen. For their views and yes. Pastor Cotton and everybody. All I get to you later.
Amen.
Wonderful Amen. Message. Amen. Wonderful message as always. Amen. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night,
Good night.
Hey, Lala, you keep peeking up. I'm gonna get you.
I see it.
You see it? You keep peeking up. I'm gonna get her. You all right, baby?
Yeah, actually, I was eating dinner and taking my medicine in between, but I kept typing because I didn't want to, you know, talk.
Yeah.
All right,
I'm
gonna see y'all. You go ahead and get the grandkids.
All right.
Good, man.
All right.
Good night, all right. Everybody.
All right. Good night.
Good night, y'all.
What we got there, Danielle? What's that?
This is her abstract art.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Oh.
Hungry eyes.
It's beautiful.
So something like this. So this is the ocean. This is the land. And this is the
Is that mountain?
No, this is the sun. And this represents the seaweed and the fish and the dolphin.
And the sun.
Okay. Very good.
So creative.
Yeah, they were doing abstract art today. That's what she had to make.
Oh, okay. Go
Very
ahead.
Very good, Danielle.
Thank you.
Yeah. How are y'all doing this night?
I'm doing good.
How do I get out of here? How do I get out, y'all?
You get that red with that X I'm looking at.
See, I don't know what I'm doing.
A little person that says leave.
Oh, I don't know what I'm doing.
You're still on. On the right-hand side at the bottom, you'll see leave.
I know you told me, but I don't see it.
Is that look like?
I don't know what you got going on.
Door.
Oh, my
goodness. Door's might be up top. Leave.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Okay. See y'all. Good night.
Good night.
You ain't going nowhere. Naomi, you done gone Muslim?
No, this is a bonnet.
As-salamu alaykum.
That's a bonnet.
Oh, gosh.
Where's Hank?
Watching TV.
Oh, okay.
Danny is doing great in school. I love the
accent. Yeah, that's nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
How's Hank doing?
He's doing good.
That boy's grown up.
Yeah, he's 9.
He's half my size. Hank is like here to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. He just shot up.
Yeah, he hasn't even had the growth spurt yet, so I know.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Go ahead, Hank.
Yeah, I still would like to see them be doing some more interaction with some more kids. He's getting about that age now. Yeah, I'm gonna talk with you. Well, that's y'all's call, of course. I'll talk with you and Henry again. I still think getting him involved at the Y is a good thing. They got so many programs he can get involved in stuff. It's not just for the sports sake. They need that interaction with these kids because he's getting older, and I don't think you're gonna teach him homeschool him all the way through school. I don't know all the way through high school, but at some point he's gonna be in somebody's classroom. And he needs to know how to interact with these kids. Both of them. I think they're going to be all right. Don't get me wrong. But I think that, you know, and I know, Henry, y'all probably talk about it among yourselves anyway. But I think the Y is a good stepping stone for that because it's more structured. It should, you know, it's so much. The worst is not going to happen in the Y.
Mm-hmm.
But he get in a public school situation, things can happen. And I want to. You know, I would love for him to be able to know what to do. you know, some kid pushes him or something like that, how he's supposed to respond, you know, without him, you know, getting pummeled by two or three kids or something like that. Now, I mean, every parent's greatest fear, you know.
Right.
Yeah, every parent's greatest fear. So I still, that doesn't mean I doubt that the Lord won't keep him. I still believe that the Lord will keep them. Okay. I'm praying for them, and I believe the Lord will do that, you know. I don't doubt that.